Yep. Give me a nod when you're ready. Jitter's ready. Stand by.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to this week's episode of Bullets and Bourbon. I'm Frank Gao, joined by my co-host, Mac Unlock. Got a very special guest today. We have Aaron Eddins of the Army Marksmanship Unit. He is currently the reigning national champion, coming off a bunch of wins, Dragon's Cup, Area 5. He's like the first national champion since Christian Seiler had that string of wins, finally dethroned him. I originally ran to Aaron shooting in North Carolina around Chris Tilley's range out there in Sanford. And back then, he was still on the cusp of making his GM card. And here he is today. So, Aaron, appreciate you coming on. But anything else that you want to share in terms of your background?
Yeah, guys, I appreciate y'all having me on. I enjoy doing these podcasts. Like I said, I don't do too many of them, but just work and just busy all the time. But I enjoy the ones that I actually do get to do. And y'all are good folks, so I figured I'd make some time for you.
Appreciate it.
But yeah, I do remember meeting Frank at Chris Tilley's match because we talked about it when we were on the plane flying to Dragon's Cup. I was like, I knew you from somewhere, and I just couldn't figure out where. But yeah, Chris Tilley and a fellow named Bill Drummond taught me everything I know about shooting. Local North Carolina dudes, grew up. When I was in college, my sophomore year, I got into competing. My dad had some sort of firearm in my hand from the time I could walk, but didn't really get into competing because I played baseball forever. That kind of took a back seat, and I started shooting a little bit more and met some phenomenal shooters. And I was like, wow, this is super cool. Heard about the AMU, and I pursued it to be a career opportunity after I kind of figured out what they do, and because I'd always wanted to join the Army, and it kind of aligned. And when I first talked to John Browning and Jacob Hetherington, I saw them at a match, and I said, wow, y'all get to do this for a living. How do I sign up? And they were like, well, first of all, you suck. They didn't say that, but they said, you got to get better, because I think I might have been B class at the time. And I worked really hard. COVID rolled around. I had a ton of time to practice. Ended up making GM. And I think we went to Area 3. I ended up winning Area 3. And they said, okay, you know, we'll come on down to Fort Benning for a tryout. So I spent a week down there, and everything worked out. Came back, went to my recruiter and said, who wants the easiest job today? Put me in the Army. They were like, okay. And they'd never heard of a AMU contract or anything like that. And now here we are today. Yeah.
Yeah, that's pretty awesome. You played baseball in college?
No, I played baseball all through high school. I was not good enough to play where I wanted to go to school. I went to a Division I school, High Point University.
Okay.
And wasn't good enough to play baseball there, but they had a club baseball team. So I played club for a year. It turned out not to be what I was looking for. So I said, you know what, I think I'm going to hang up the cleats. So I started shooting.
Yeah. What position did you play?
I caught for a long time. And then when I got to high school, I transferred when I was a sophomore in high school. So where I transferred to, we had a pretty stud catcher. He was a year older than me, and I could hit pretty well. And my coach said, hey man, can you play like first base? And I was like, yeah, absolutely. And I'd never played an inning of first in my life. So I'd figured it out. Learned how to pick the ball, and I really enjoyed first base. It was super easy. I didn't have to move very far. I was the closest to the dugout, so I could just run out the first base, run back in. I really enjoyed first, and that's where I played most of my time at the college club baseball.
Yeah, so the reason I wanted to talk more about that is I've actually talked to a fair bit of competitive shooters who have baseball as a background, and baseball is a team sport, right? But there's some very intense personal moments, and it's a lot of pressure on you as an individual to deliver, whether you're in the batter's box or you're about to make a catch at first base. So I'd have to imagine that that has transferred over to the individual pressure of competition shooting. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, absolutely. And I would even say more than that, more than the pressure or the mental side, the physical side, because it's short bursts of energy.
Yes.
Like shooting.
Yes.
Out of everyone I've, you know, kind of talked to about shooting and sports and how they relate, baseball and tennis seem to be the most relatable to the competitive shooting world.
Yeah, I can see that. The need to kind of stay low, have a, you know, balance and be able to shoot off in one position or one direction at a given moment. That, yeah, very, very interesting. So yeah, you already started covering like your backstory, which is awesome, but you talked about starting off in North Carolina and, Chris Tilley, and there's another shooter in there. Who was that?
A friend of mine named Bill Drummond. I met him up. Actually, I was shooting an IDPA match with my dad, and he was there practicing for like USPSA matches. And I was like, what is that? Like, that dude shoots super fast with a really loud gun. I want to do that. And I just walked over to him, and I was like, just introduced myself and asked for some lessons, and ended up taking quite a few lessons from him. And we became super good friends, and I guess 2-ish years down the road, I would hit him up and say, hey man, like, you want to practice today? Let's go do something. And he was like, yeah, sure. So we ended up practicing quite a bit together as well. And man, shooting with him and Chris Tilley, I would to the both of those guys, they really mentored me in the shooting world. And but we'd have hours of conversations about guns, movement, loading, anything, any question I had, those two guys would just tell me their background, because they've been doing it for quite a long time.
Yeah, for sure. You still talk to Chris Tilley often, I'm guessing?
Oh yeah, all the time, absolutely.
Yeah, and I have to imagine that, you know, developing as a shooter, it's, you know, I took my very first competition shooting class from him.
Yeah.
And, you know, it just stands out because that guy has been on the national and international stage for so many years. Every time he shows up to a match, you know that he's a perennial contender.
Oh, absolutely.
So at what point? So, I mean, I have to imagine in the beginning, it's about sharpening you up and, you know, getting you to the point where you can contend with the rest of the GMs. But what were some of those conversations like when you started to get to like that upper tier? And like you were getting close to AMU, did he like kind of start talking to you more about like upper tier competition stuff and like mental things, travel, that kind of stuff?
Yes and no. I'll say we talk as friends. So mainly like, hey man, here's what I'm seeing. Here's what's going on in my practice or dry fire or whatever. And he would kind of like, you know, Chuck Weed's like, okay, so now you're there to that point. And I don't really know how to describe it, but then it would kind of like open up a new realm of competition that he would talk about and say, okay, well, now that we talked about this, here's what I was seeing when I was at your level, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, yeah. And yeah, someone who's been there and done that and is able to articulate things. Yeah, that's awesome that you had him had his mentorship growing up. That's fantastic.
Yeah.
You still in pretty good contact with those guys? You still go out and shoot with them every now and again when you go back home?
I do. Yeah. I try to Bill Drummond doesn't shoot many area matches or any other matches other than like nationals and IPSC nationals to qualify for the world shoot. But Chris Tilly shoots quite a bit, actually. And anytime I'm home in North Carolina, I do try to scoot down there and shoot one of his local matches because I truly think they're the best local match, at least in the East Coast / Southeast area. I haven't shot a ton of local matches outside of the Southeast, but he puts on a phenomenal match.
So you kind of talk some about, you know, getting onto the AMU or at the point where they invited you for tryouts. And that's kind of what I want to focus on here. And I know the tryouts for the AMU over the 10 years I've competed, I've never been to one, obviously, but, you know, you always kind of hear, you know, what they do. And it's evolved over time. But can you describe what it was like trying out for the AMU when you got invited down?
Yeah. So the main portion of the tryout is to judge you as a person, not necessarily judge you, but say, okay, we are a team. We do have to work as a team. Do you fit in with the team? Are you a good dude? Are you a kid who's going to come here and, you know, cause trouble? If that, I don't know. I don't know how to word it without sounding mean.
Well, can we trust you going across the country and working well with others and talking and, you know, with other people outside the community?
Correct. So there's three parts of our job. The part that everyone sees, which is competing for the Army and winning matches. The second part is training. So we do a ton of instructing on just basic marksmanship all the way up to competition level marksmanship and how to shoot faster and more accurately. And then we also our brigade is the marketing and engagement brigade. So we still have to do the recruitment side of things as well. So exactly, you know, to caveat off of your point, can you trust somebody to fly across the country and engage with people, whether it's at a match, at a training event, or trying to recruit some high schoolers to join the Army? You don't want somebody that's, you know, can't do that, if that makes any sense.
No, absolutely. I mean, I, you know, whenever I was on the Marine Corps team, we had instances, we look at the same thing, you know, it's kind of very similar. Can I trust this guy to be on this team? And, you know, their tryout it's a bit different for us because we have a summer season where we pull somebody for the entire summer.
Right.
And they have to prove themselves during the entire summer. And, you know, I've had some people, you know, one, I'm not going to say his name or anything, but, you know, every time we went out, we had an incident, not anything super major, but it just came to a point where there was a level of trust that we didn't have in him anymore. And for 2 years after that, he kept trying to contact me and say, hey, can I get another shot? Can I get another shot? No, man, you blew your one shot. You had an entire summer to prove who you could have been and you blew it. And
exactly.
And there's a lot of other people that rose to the occasion.
To explain it in layman's terms, I'd rather take a really good kid and mold him into a national / world champion shooter than to try to take the national / world champion and make them
a better human being.
Exactly.
Yeah. Now, it's good to hear that. And like, you guys have some really good people on your team, you know, Nate Staskowitz, Joel Turner, you know, John Wydell, you know, Jake Hetherington. Just, you know, we often joke about this because it's like, I just want to hate this person because they're so good and they just dominate, but they're the nicest guys in the world. And all you want to do is, you know, at that point is shake their hand and get to know them even more. And it's like, you know, you build a friendship over time.
Everybody on the team, they're such good people that they make you want to be better at what you do.
Exactly. And, you know, I like the relationship that's kind of continued on between the Marine Corps shooting team and the AMU, because like, I know prior to me coming onto the team back in 2018, there wasn't a whole lot of interaction between the two teams. And then, then, you know, we set up a training event with the AMU and the Marine Corps team, and we just spent an entire week training together, and like your guys just taught us things that we would have never even thought of, and it just made our team that much better. And your guys' willingness to do that, it's unreal.
Absolutely. It's a great, like you said, great relationship, and we hope to keep it going for years to come. And we are also working on another training event like that. So,
oh, hell yeah.
That will happen again soon.
That's good to hear. I'm glad it's continuing. You know, talking about training and stuff like that, how was it adjusting to the level of training and competition on the AMU schedule? And how has your longer tenured teammates helped with that transition?
To be honest with you, there wasn't much of a difference because I was shooting a ton. I believe in 2000, and it was either 2018 or 2019, I shot about 80,000 rounds that year.
Wow.
Wow.
So, like I said, COVID was, well, I guess that was 2020. I can't remember what year it was, 19 or 20. But anyway, COVID was terrible and I hate it. There was a lot of bad things, but it allowed me time to train and get to where I'm at now. So I am thankful for that time, but I was shooting about 800 rounds a day, five days a week, pretty much. And I can't remember, you know, how many weeks it was, but all the math added up to about somewhere around 80,000 rounds that year. So coming to the AMU was not a ton of change because the level of training / competition was pretty much the same as I was used to.
I have one more, Frank. Jake Hetherington every now and again makes an appearance in three gun matches. Is there any thoughts of you making an appearance and shooting some three gun matches here in the future?
So I'm not sure about three gun. I like the long range game a little bit more myself. Okay. So right now I've kind of got a goal set. There are a few goals that I have as far as pistol shooting, USPSA. But as soon as I reach those goals, I might start branching out and shooting some long range. So we'll see.
Okay. Yeah. Didn't you do Mammoth this past year?
I did not shoot Mammoth. No, more than half the team shot Mammoth, but yeah. I had to go to a wedding, so I was not available to.
Oh, it sounds like a waste of time. No, I'm kidding.
No, it's all good. I actually will hopefully shoot that in the future, but it looks like fun. Well, it actually doesn't look like fun, but it kind of looks like fun.
Well, it's kind of like me and Frank, we talk about it a bit, the tactical games. It's like, yeah. Wow, this is excruciatingly painful, but I'm going to just keep doing it.
Yeah. Do you, speaking of tactical games, I thought about maybe trying my hand at some of that. Do you enjoy it a lot?
I do. And, you know, not to go off on a tangent in tactical games, like, you know, my last 5 years, I kind of focused mostly on the shooting aspect of the Marine Corps and, you know, and then the administrative side. So whenever I would get home, I didn't work out as much as I used to. And now that I'm retired, it's like, I have all this time to myself. I have only me to focus on. So I do nothing but lift weights and practice shooting whenever I can. And I'm never going to be, you know, I'm never going to get jumped back up in three gun into the rankings where I would love to be.
Sure.
But, you know, with the shooting and the direction that the tactical games are going with their shooting and branching into more of the practical shooting side of things, it's allowing me to get two things that I absolutely love and, you know, kind of help people that are, you know, wanting to learn that side of shooting as well.
Well, let me ask you this, how much, cause I've heard a little bit about it. This was maybe a year to a year and a half ago when they kind of came around, you know, got put on the map.
Mm-hmm.
What is the level of shooting versus the level of lifting?
Okay. So in a I'll put it this. I think it's a 60-40 balance. 60% would be lifting. Okay. 40 would be shooting. The shooting, some, you know, one to two of the stages are more practical shooting based. And then the other stages are your more fundamental base shooting under duress.
Sure.
And like more, having more to slow things down.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And, you know, some people can look at that, and I'll be the first one to say I hate bullseye. I shot it for 2 years, not voluntarily really. But you know, so whenever I first saw that, I was like, man, I'm going to hate this. But whenever you add the stress of, you know, of doing everything before you start shooting, now you're really having to slow things down and really rely on your base fundamental skills in order to get your hits. So yeah, that becomes fun. Like, you have a challenge set forth in front of you, and it's like, can I make all my hits?
Yeah, I get it. Makes sense. It sounds cool.
So, I mean, I say, you know, if you want to talk about it some more offline, we definitely talk about it. And if you want to get into one, we'll definitely see about. John, I know there's one in October. Yeah, there's one in October down in Georgia. And there's one in September in, I want to say, Barnwell, South Carolina at GTI. And I think that's the one I'm going to. And I, you know, I heard nothing but great things about shooting at GTI, like clearing out tunnels and stuff like that.
It's a decommissioned nuclear facility. So,
oh, that's cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. Actually, John Wydell mentioned something the other day. He's like, hey, man, we should go shoot tactical games. And I was like, hey, man, I'm down. If you want to do it, let's go.
He's going to be at Duskin this weekend, right?
He is, yes.
Okay, I'll talk to him about it.
Cool. Yeah, the whole three-gun team should be there.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, that'd be an exciting match. So I've noticed, you know, you're coming off a string of victories, you know, Open Nationals, Dragons Cup, Area 5. But every time you talk about your victory, there's always a little tinge of, like, there's humility to it, right? So, for example, after Dragons Cup, you said that your performance was mediocre, but you won. You won overall open. At this point in your shooting career, is your measuring stick for your performance generated, like, entirely internally based on what you know you're capable of and what you know perfection is in terms of the way you run a stage? Or are you still looking at other shooters as a benchmark?
No, it's everything's internal. So no matter who shows up, whether it's, you know, the entire super squad of Open Nationals, or whether it's a local match, I still judge my performance based off of what I know I can do or should be, where I should be performing. So I guess I said that match, my performance was mediocre at that match because there were just little mistakes that cost me. And even though maybe I won a stage with that mistake, it's still not where I know that I can be. And if there were, if it was nationals, it wouldn't fly. It would, you know, knock me down quite a bit.
Because Siler or JJ is going to absolutely capitalize. Like, they see an opening, they're going to take it. Yeah.
The entire super squad will have the ability to capitalize on just the littlest of errors. So,
yeah, absolutely makes sense, man. But also, you know, just in terms of practical shooting, on your way to the top, you know, you lose a lot more than you win. And I think that's probably, you know, a little bit the opposite now for you. But I personally think, like, some of the biggest lessons I've taken have been from defeats, right? Matches, and, you know, what you're talking about, not performing up to your capacity. So what have some of those learning moments been for you? Like, looking back in terms of all the matches you've been to and just your progression, what are some moments that stand out to you as, like, real stepping stone moments?
I would say replicating a mistake that you made at a match when you obviously you come off the stage and you're like, man, that was terrible. I really screwed this up. And go immediately next time you get your next practice session, replicating that and do it so many times that you physically can't do it wrong. That was the biggest thing, and learning how to practice instead of just going up there and setting up targets, and just dumping rounds down range, not really thinking I was getting better. Really learning what worked for me and what made me a better shooter to translate into matches. I guess that would be the main thing that stands out as far as I know what you're looking for. You're looking for like a moment in time or at a match where I was like, oh, I got better here. Yeah. I can't really give you that because everything to me translates to training / practice, you know?
Yeah. So I'm sure you do the same thing that, you know, me and Sam do is we look at our match videos post-match and we just pick out all the little things that bug the shit out of us.
Oh yeah.
And that's going to be practiced that next week. Mm-hmm. I'm assuming that's the way it is for you.
Exactly. With a lot of matches come that, you know, they send out the match book in advance. I'll also look at what's in the future and set up scenarios that look, I don't set up stages. I don't set up all 20 stages of an area match or anything like that, but I will set up, you know, if a reoccurring theme of the match, whether it's, you know, tuxedo targets or hardcover or anything like that, so that when I get to that match, it's like, oh man, you know, there's a hardcover at 15 yards. People are going to, you know, freak out about that. And all week I've been shooting hardcover at 30 yards. So your tuxedo target's at 30 yards and you're like, that's nothing. Just having the confidence because you know you've done it in practice 1,000 times and even harder. So.
Yeah, I completely understand. One of the things that Sam and I did before Dragon's Cup was we put a no shoot on the swinger and we left like the smallest sliver of the A zone.
Oh, yeah.
And we plugged a lot of shots in the white.
That sounds like AMU practice right there.
Yeah. Like you gotta practice things that are gonna eat your lunch and make you feel shitty so you don't feel shitty on match day.
But at the same time, I think you need to have that morale booster of, okay, I'm gonna, you know, drop the no shoot down, you know, give me 50% more alpha. And we're still a hard target, you know, still a no shoot on it, but you're just hammering the A's because you were just shooting something super hard. Now your morale's up, you feel a lot better. The next practice session, you're going to shoot a little bit better.
Yeah. Is that usually where you want to be like heading into a match? Kind of like in baseball, you take off the donut when you're on deck and then, you know, the bat swings.
Exactly. I definitely don't leave for a match after super, super hard practice. I will back it off and do what I like to call match mode practice. And
no less than 400 rounds in that day.
What's that?
No more than 400 rounds in that day before a match.
No, I don't really have a round count set for it because I don't really believe in, okay, I gotta shoot this amount of rounds. I just shoot till I feel good. Or if I'm really sucking, I just put the gun away. I just like, I'm done. I'm not shooting today. I'm not learning anything. I'm not getting any better. So.
Okay. Yeah. Really, really great stuff. So you guys deal with a lot of pressure as individuals. Cause I mean, you're very visible. You and your teammates are often shooting on the super squad. You're placing high at matches, but when we go up to you guys are usually super fucking chill and just very relaxed, which makes sense. Cause you're about to compete. But how does that team effort work between you guys in terms of just being cohesive and helping each other deal with pressure?
On our team, you cannot wear your feelings on your sleeves. We give each other, you know, crap all the time about anything day to day. So you learn to like, just let it roll off and not, you can't be super sensitive about it. And we're also great friends. So it's nobody takes anything personal. But when it does come time to shoot, everybody is working together. And for instance, I can't watch myself shoot. So when somebody says, when Jacob says, hey man, you know, you need to have your gun up earlier here. I'm like, okay, thank you. So next time I run it, gun up earlier. He's like, perfect. There you go. And vice versa, no matter senior member on the team, junior member on the team, brand new, been there forever, everybody can give and take advice just the same.
Yeah. Great support system to have. So in between, Matt, so you just came back from Area 5. We talked about how you're not going to Area 4, but this competition season is a lot, right? There's a match every single weekend, and you could be shooting every weekend if you wanted to. And you're coming back, and you're training, you're prepping. How do you – so I know Jake loves to fish, right? He's always posting photos of it. Like Joel Turner, he has his, like, drone. He has his drones and his toys. I see some photos of you going to like country music concerts, but what are some other things that you do to kind of reset, blow off steam before you got to ramp it up again?
I enjoy, you know, hanging out with my wife. Like you said, country concerts, we like to go out, you know, downtown and just hang out and spend time together. I still consider myself pretty new in the shooting world, considering some of the people that have been around for, I've been shooting for longer than I've been alive. So I still think about shooting all the time. I will still shoot some local matches, especially if it's leading up to a nationals or a big match like that. But like I said, dude, shooting's everything. Shooting's my life right now, you know. Mainly, like I said, about long range, I'll shoot some long range or even like shoot 22s. Like we shoot 22 PR, not really PRS matches, but we'll go and shoot some long range 22 stuff, just for fun.
22 is a lot of fun. I trained with the guys and sat yesterday. I brought my 22 with the silencer, like a Browning Buckmark. Mm-hmm. I brought my single stage revolver. I brought my little Henry lever action, and the guys were like trying to like shoot cowboy style, try to go one for one on steel. So they're all having a good time.
We like to shoot really, really small targets at distance with our 22s. So I've got a Bergara 22 that I bought from the factory. And, dude, that thing shoots lights out. It's one hole at 25 yards and like half inch at 50. And dude, it's super, super accurate for what it is, you know.
I have a CZ 457 and much similar to your Bergara, like single hole 25, you know. Yeah. I think I hit a target out to 400 with it.
I was actually shooting 400 yards the other day.
Yeah. It's just like, okay, this is awesome. And it's cheap, you know.
It is. In terms of all the bullets, you know, you could be shooting, 22 is very, very low on the price spectrum.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely. But yeah, so much fun. I forgot how much fun it was. So you mentioned it, you know, wanted to get into PRS, but you mentioned you had some goals that you wanted to hit. Would you mind sharing with us what you're trying to accomplish?
Yeah, sure. My personal goal is to win every match I go to, but that's kind of like something I should be doing. I do have the personal goals of, hey, here's what I've been working on in practice. If I can really nail this down at this match, I can kind of give it a check mark and throw it in my toolbox, or am I not there yet? And I need to continue working on it. But obviously, you know, nationals this year, I hope to perform well there and hopefully be up there with the rest. But my main goal is to make the 2025 World Shoot Team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I expect to see you on there. If you aren't, then something's gone terribly wrong.
Oh, man, everybody makes mistakes, dude. I could go out there and suck it up at nationals and IPSC nationals, but I definitely plan on shooting my best and just, I don't know. I really enjoy traveling, and traveling the world is one of the goals of mine, as well as, you know, what else would I be doing if I wasn't shooting there too? So
is there a destination you have in mind that isn't necessarily shooting related that you just want to go for leisure?
Greece, Europe, all over there. That looks pretty cool. Like I said, I've never been out of the U.S. traveled all over the U.S. but never been outside to traveling at all, much less shooting. So
yeah, absolutely do it.
I'd like to hit up the Czech Extreme as well. They have, I don't know if y'all follow much IPSC stuff, but the Extreme Euro is usually in the Czech Republic.
I've heard of that.
it's one of the best IPSC matches around.
So, give you a chance to go up against Eric Raffel as well, huh?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd love to. I'd love to shoot against him. He's big in. He's been shooting. Actually, I saw a video of him shooting open the other day. My man shoots it all, dude. He will
smash you in every division. If he could find a way to split himself into like a quantum, like six different guys and shoot every division, he'd be the champion of all of them.
Well, he shot the extreme match that happened in Florida back in January.
Right. Yeah.
And nobody knew he was going to show up. So some people either didn't show up, or obviously it's, you know, January, it's cold most places around here. And people hadn't been practicing or just kind of went, you know, as the first match of the season, and then he shows up. It's just stomps dudes.
Yeah. Yeah. No, he was putting like 10% on some pretty good GMs. So that was super impressive.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, hey, we appreciate your time. And this was a really great conversation. I think, everything we talked about, but at this point, is there anything that you want to leave the audience with?
I'm super approachable. I try to be super approachable. Hit me up on, if you ever see me in a match, please come say hey. Or if you ever have any questions, hit me up on Instagram pretty much Instagram is all I have a Facebook, but that's for my old FUD friends who, you know, who I grew up.
Refuse to change.
Same.
Yeah. But hit me up on Instagram or anything. I'd love to chat, do things like that. So I appreciate y'all having me on. This was good. This was fun.
Yeah. Thanks, man. The pleasure's all ours. For our listeners, let us know how we're doing. If you want to reach out to Aaron, we'll drop his handle in the post announcement. But hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll see you on the next one.